This is Louisa Beal with Radio Tacoma, and I have a conversation today with a very special woman from Indivisible. I would like to let Nina introduce herself. Hi, Nina.
Good to talk to you, Louisa. I'm Nina Rook, and I have been a Tacoma resident for 20 years. I've been an Indivisible Tacoma member more or less since it started. I'm now semi-retired, which is great because it means I've been able to put more energy in. And the area of Indivisible that I've been most involved in is voter registration and engagement. So what it sounds like, registering voters and get out the vote efforts.
Wow. I mean, that is a huge, huge job. But from what it sounds like, you have a lot of contact with people. But since COVID-19 came around, it must have made some big changes in the way that campaigns are run. So what changes have you made?
A lot. If I look back to the last election cycle, which was 2018, we spent a wonderful spring, summer, early fall on a lot of voter registration efforts. We would go to street fairs. We would go to the libraries. We'd go to any place that you got a bunch of people. We had good relationships with the food banks, and we had people working with the local schools and colleges, all face-to-face work, getting people excited about registering to vote. And then when it transitioned into the election season, not so much me, but a lot of my colleagues turned into door-knocking demons and went door-to-door to get people excited about voting in general and for specific candidates. We did a lot of talking. We were very close to people. And all that went away about March 13th. You could see people say, no, I don't think I want to go to the library gig. No, I don't think this. And all of a sudden, things just shut down around us. It was a shock. And for about a month, we were in shock. Everyone thought, well, this will soon be over. What? And then we thought, no, it's not. And fortunately, by that time, people were used to the idea of doing without face-to-face meetings. And so late in the spring, we put together classic Zoom meeting with some of our key volunteers. And we just brainstormed, what can we do? And the ideas that came out of that meeting are what we have been doing from probably starting early July until now and ongoing to nearly election time.
Wow, that's amazing. And it's like, I can't even imagine what sorts of things you're doing without actually going face to face. So enlighten me, please.
Yes, I'm very happy to. So there are things that we can do locally and things that we can do nationally. Two of our volunteers talked about postcard efforts, and the whole of the American political scene has been very active in adopting these postcard efforts. Why postcards? Because you can get campaigns going. They're relatively simple to do. You can work outside your geography. One of the things about being in a blue state is that it's very difficult to feel that you can change things, you know, around a lot nationally from a blue state. But you can write a postcard from a blue state. And our lovely volunteers identified one particular campaign called Reclaim Our Vote. And Reclaim Our Vote works with organizations cited in states in the South where there is a history and a risk of disenfranchisement of minority communities. And the local organizations in those states say, we want to encourage our people to register to vote, to do the census, to check that they haven't been bounced off the register rolls, to vote early, to sign up for a mail vote. And so all of these things, the actual local community will say to Reclaim Our Vote, this is what we want as our script. And what Reclaim Our Vote does is it provides the addresses for these people who are being targeted for disenfranchisement. It provides the messages. What we do is we buy the postcards, we buy the postage, we create little labels that actually make sure that nobody writes down the phone number or the URL or whatever the critical information is wrong. And then we, as Indivisible Tacoma, kit up these cards in such a way that we can drop off, it turns out the kits are usually 60 cards. We can drop off everything you need to do the card. So if you are somebody who has a real risk with pre-existing conditions or with age, you don't have to go to the post office. You don't have to do anything. We can provide you with everything that you need. You write the cards, you get them back in the mail, either by leaving them in your mailbox or going to the post office. And one lovely thing about that is that we have been able to separate the actual writing of the cards from the paying for the postage, which is the expensive bit. Because we know not everybody who volunteers has got a lot of discretionary income. And so we do some fundraising, and we make sure that if you ask for the postcards, you can get the postcards. All you have to do is write them and assemble them. It's actually 1, 2, 3. It's 3 things on the postcard, and then it's getting the addresses. It's quite a complicated little gizmo that we've got going together. And so far on Reclaim Our Vote, we have mailed about 10,000 postcards.
Wow. Wow. So how much would that cost? So if someone wanted to donate and say, hey, you know, I can't write, I can't do that, but I do have some money, so.
We'll take any amount of money, Louisa. Postage for 60 postcards is just over $20.
Wow, cool.
You know, the postcards themselves, because we buy in quantity, it's pennies. It's, you know, we're paying 2 or 3 cents for a postcard, a couple of cents for the label, and then people tend to donate any other little bits of equipment, to, you know, envelopes to put things in so they don't fall apart, this kind of thing. And we've managed to keep this going. And it's great. Everybody enjoys the actual feeling that there is something that you can do when you're stuck in the house.
Or stuck in a blue state.
Or stuck in a blue state. Yes, it's a little bit of empowerment. It makes you very aware of how fortunate we are with the political climate that we live in, where people are encouraged to register to vote and are encouraged to vote. When you see scripts like, there is some information that you are no longer registered to vote. And the fact that it's us who is able to tell that person is just amazing. Now, some of it is killer. The first lot we did went to El Paso, And the script had to be done once in English and once in Spanish. And surviving doing bilingual postcards was remarkable. Anybody who survived that has stuck with the rest of the program. It's been great.
So let me make sure I have this right. Okay. So that if someone wants to help, then you would send them a postcard kit.
We would either, they can pick them up from a location in University Place, or we actually deliver.
Okay. Okay.
Now, we only have one more batch of that. So anybody wanting to move on that has to move on quickly. We have successor projects for postcards, and we're hoping that the same rules of operation will apply.
Okay, good, good. That's an amazing project. There is so much disenfranchisement going on that it's kind of scary.
So the Reclaim Our Vote is working out of state, and that's great. But we're also committed to do things locally. And one of the things that we're doing locally is an effort in Tacoma, much smaller number of postcards. But what we're doing is we're able to identify addresses where there is no registered voter. But we have a program that will write a very sweetly worded Dear Neighbor postcard saying, Dear Neighbor, if you want to register to vote, do this. If you want to do this, do this. And it's just a way of allowing anybody who may have moved and not changed their address, may never have felt it important to vote before, to reach out to them and make it happen. And we actually developed the visual postcard to do that, developed the script, and getting that list of households is a lot of working, doing very detailed work with an application called Map the Vote. And this is a kind of a reverse lookup table. If you can imagine that the addresses of registered voters, that is public information. If you know the total number of addresses on a street and you subtract, you identify the registered voters, the other households are the ones with no registered voters. Wow. So this is going to be an experiment. We've never done it before. But again, it's something that we can do that increases the energy around registration. Yeah. And that will be available once we finished the Reclaim Our Vote. The last day for mailing Reclaim Our Vote is October 15th, because people have to have time at the other end to actually do something with the information.
It sounds like you have thought through all of the little details that need to be gone through in order to help people vote.
Yes, and we've been very lucky with our partners. Reclaim Our Vote turned out to be a very responsive and reliable organization. We have had the help of the auditor's office supplying artwork that we can then turn around into postcards and into yard signs. We have had a lot of support from the other members of Indivisible Tacoma, who have been able not only to volunteer, but to actually provide some of the funding. We had a budget to begin with. We thought we were going to be buying tables at street fairs. Well, that was seed money for the postcard postage, but we've gone well beyond that. And we've had very resourceful, detail-oriented team that has been actually running the detailed administration of this Reclaim Our Vote. There's probably four of us that do most of it. I am kind of the liaison between the steering committee and also be very active part of it. And we actually have, I just checked, we have something like 65 people who have written cards in one batch or another, or all of them, some of them. So that is a wonderful, wonderful group of people, and it's really exciting.
So there's something else going on that you're doing. Oh, because you've got these signs, they're yard signs, but you're also saying that people may be able to take them to other places, public places?
Yeah, we developed a wonderful, my favorite attitude. It's all a wonder. The fact that we can start out from nothing in the midst of a pandemic and people have the energy to do anything, basically. But one thing we decided we could do was a yard sign. And so the yard sign is a voter registration yard sign. So it doesn't mention any candidates. It is bright and lively and welcoming. We used a wonderful VoteWar sketch provided by the auditor's office. The Pierce County auditor made these images available for anybody who wanted to use them. So it's a lovely image with the mountain and a couple of bridges and some trees. You know how people represent it, Tacoma. And then it has votewar.gov, which is the URL for voter registration. And it also has one of those little square QR codes.
Oh, yeah, that's that thing that I don't understand. It's that thing that looks like a little checkerboard.
That's right. So what it is, it's a very complex version of the old barcodes. So it's a unique visual representation that will take you to a page on somebody's website. So people who use QR codes can look at that sign and say, ah, a QR code. And they can take their little phone and they can point their phone's camera at the QR code. This is absolutely unbelievable. And when they do that, they are linked online to the sign-up page for voter registration at the Secretary of State's website. And they can check that they are registered, they can update their address, or they can register for the first time on their phone from our little sign.
Wow, that's amazing. So they can either take a picture or enter in votewa.gov?
Okay. Yep, and that will take them through to the registration. Now, in Washington State, you can register online up till the 26th of October.
Well, that's good to know.
But you can do it in person up and including voting day.
Wow. So there's really no excuse not to vote.
People always find an excuse not to vote. But anybody who wants to vote, we make it as easy as possible. And we try to make sure that nobody overlooks voting. Now, when you're actually talking to someone face to face, you think that you can provide reasons for people to vote, but it's very difficult to change their minds.
I mean, it kind of galls me because there have been so many people in our history that have fought and even died for our right to vote.
Indeed, but You can't go into this kind of work expecting to turn around people who have decided for some reason that they think is important, that they're not going to vote. I remember at one street fair, there was a guy who said, well, I can't vote. And I said, oh, really? He said, I'm a felon. And I said, well, are you still under the supervision of the Department of Corrections? He said, no, but I'm a felon. I said, you can vote. Mm-hmm. He said, well, but can I get my guns back yet? All right.
Yeah, well, we all have our priorities, I suppose.
I'm not going to vote until I've got my guns back, you know?
Wow. They don't know that once you're done with your sentence and out and everything's, you know, cleared, felons can vote.
I mean, you've served your sentence. The other thing that people don't know is that Washington State encourages you to pre-register once you're 16. Yeah. And that way you are pre-registered, and because they have your date of birth, they can start sending you the materials for the elections for which you will actually be able to vote once you're 18. And so you could have registered as a high school junior, and once you hit 18, once you're about to hit 18, you'll be getting the materials. So that's a lovely thing to be able to do in high schools. And that's one thing that I used to enjoy doing.
Part of our education system.
Yeah. So, yes, the yard sign is, again, it's not specific to any candidate. So a lot of people don't like to put candidate signs in their yard, but this is voter registration. Yeah. The other thing is that there are places outside where people do congregate, and at least one of our volunteers has actually taken his yard sign, and it comes on an H frame. I think he put a single stick in the middle somehow. And he got permission from one of the farmers markets to be there where people are lined up these days, because they're restricting the capacity of the farmers market. And so they have to wait for 10 people to leave before they can let 10 people in. And so he can keep his 6-foot distance, but he can talk to them about registration and they can register on the spot.
Wow. How creative.
He came up with that. Again, these ideas were not top down. They're all bubbled up from the people who've been really interested in this work for a while.
That's so heartening to know that there are so many people who are concerned about others voting, not telling them who to vote for necessarily, but, you know, it's when we all participate that we finally start to function.
Yeah, now, Indivisible is not averse to telling people who to vote for. And again, you get to the point in a campaign, well, in an election cycle, where you're building a lot of candidate awareness and a lot of voting, I mean, working in support of specific candidates. And that's all part of getting a more progressive agenda through the legislature. So part of what people will be doing once we finished the Reclaim Our Vote and Our Missing Voters will probably be more focused on particular candidates who may have a range of things going on. They have Some have postcard campaigns. A lot of people have texting campaigns. They have phone banks. They have literature drops. But that is more candidate specific. Mm-hmm. If you're wanting to get outside of the Washington state limitation again, there are a lot of national phone banks and national texting banks. Reclaim Our Vote has some, which is great because they're a known entity to us now. But I'm hearing that the easiest texting setup to learn is probably Resistance Labs. And so we've been sending that information out with whatever other kind of transitional activities people might want to do.
But it's my understanding also that with the candidates, Indivisible Tacoma has really done some deep research into who's running for office, their background, their positions, prior voting, not just what they say, but what they've done. And to me, that is extremely valuable information.
It is. And I am so glad that we have a team of politically savvy people who put a lot of time into this. And we have been able to actually endorse people based on the strength of the research that we've done. Now, this was not something that I'm not particularly knowledgeable about, but I have been using the wonderful output that they've given to the rest of Indivisible and anybody else who would like to use it. And that's great. The other thing that we've been able to do is work with Washington State Indivisible. And we developed a series of town halls with specific candidates on a local and on state level offices. And these were all recorded, they're Zoom recordings, and they are all available. And so if you are wondering who to vote for Secretary of State or for Lieutenant Governor, and you look at these names and they mean nothing to you, you can actually go and watch people respond to questions from Indivisible members and from Stefan Fox. And it gives you access in one place to some moderated conversations, which is really valuable.
Yes, I've listened to some and they're wonderful. How do people get a hold of Indivisible if they want more information or if they want to help or donate?
Website is indivisibletacoma.net. You know, it has a contact sheet that we monitor continuously. There is a donate button right on the homepage. And you can make notes if you make a donation. And you can donate any level that you want to. And in the notes, you can say if you want to send that money in a specific direction or just for the good of the cause. Beyond that, the website, and I believe this is in the blog area, has a lot of current and specific activities. And so if you want to go down to DuPont and put out a lot of yard signs, you know, this is how you do that. If you want to do postcards, this is how you do that. A lot of these things, I don't know, if we had COVID and no technology, we would have been in a very different and even darker, scarier place than we are today. So the website is a really good place to start.
That's great. Good information. Anything else you want to add before we close here?
Don't be discouraged. Every news cycle just is catastrophic and miserable, and you think there can't be anything worse happening, and then something else happens. And the most life-enhancing way to deal with this is finding something that you can actually do. And at the end of the day, you can say, I called this person. I wrote these postcards. I chatted with my neighbor at a socially distant level and managed to work out how to help them also getting involved in something. I drove around town, and lo and behold, I saw a number of our yard signs, and I went, yes. And so all these things, instead of just letting the waves roll over you, you can feel that you're surfing. And this is, that's an analogy I just came up with.
I like it.
And we thrive on each other's energy, and we can make this a better place to be living in.
Oh, I'm heartened now. I'm going to go out and do something. Oh, well, thank you so much. This has been wonderful.
Well, thank you.
For more information on any of these topics, you can go to the Indivisible website, indivisibletacoma.net. There you will find contact information, ways to get involved, and how to listen to the town halls co-sponsored by Washington Indivisible Network and Stephen Cox of Washington State Indivisible Podcast. You can also listen to town halls on KTAH at 9 a.m. Be informed, register, and vote.